Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memor Avram Goldar, and today we're Zecher Shavuos, Daf Lamed Ches, the end of the fifth perek Shavuos HaPikadon, and the beginning of the sixth perek Shavuos HaDayanim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah discussed one who swore to deny multiple claims, and a Braisa lists four opinions. Number one, Rav Meir says, Kalel, if he included all the claims in a single denial, he brings only one carbon, but Parat, if he specified the denial separately, he's chayv to separate karbanos, as will be explained. Number two, Rabbi Yudah holds he is liable separately if he said, Shvua lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha. An oath they do not owe money to you, and not to you, and not to you. Number three, Rabbi Eliezer says that Shvuas are only separated if he said the word Shvua at the end. And number four, Rabbi Shimon holds he must say an independent Shvua term for each claim to be liable separately. Shmuel says that the case where Meir defines as kalel, inclusive shvuah with one carbon, Rav Yudah considers a parat, a specifying shvuah, with separate karbanos. This refers to the case of lo lecha v'lo lecha. The case Rav Yudah considers a kalel, a lo lecha, without a vav, Rav Meir considers a parat. Rabbi Yochanan says that everyone agrees that lo lecha separates the shvuahs, and they only argue about lo lecha. Pointing to the Mishnah taught that if one demanded the wheat and barley and spelt that another had in his possession, and the defendant swore, She'en lecha b'yadi klum, that you have nothing in my possession, there is only a single carbon. If he swore, She'en lecha b'yadi chitin usa'orin makusmin, that you do not have wheat and not barley and not spelt in my possession, they obligate separate karbanas. Rabbi Yochanan says, Pruta makum, it's the refus. A pruta's worth of value can be combined from all of the grains for the minimum shear to obligate a carbon. Rav Achan and Ravina argued about the Mishnah's law that enumerating the grains obligates multiple kabbanas, and the application of Yochanan's ruling. One said a prati mechayev, he is liable for the specifications, meaning the listed grains, but a klali lo mechayev, he is not additionally liable for an inclusive general shvua. His opening words, she'eno cho b'yodi, that you do not have my possession, are not considered an independent shvua, jointly denying all the grains. As such, Rabbi Yochanan's ruling would not apply in this case, but in the Mishnah's first case. The other Amora said, a kol nami mechayev, he is also liable for an inclusive general shvua, and Rabbi Yochanan's ruling is relevant here as well. And point number three, the sixth perek primarily discusses the shvua of modu b'miksas, one who admits to part of a claim. It begins, Shvuos HaDayanim, the oath of judges for modu b'miksas, is only imposed when hatayna shtei kesev v'hoda b'shav pruta. The claim is for at least two silver maos, and the admission is for at least a pruta. Furthermore, im ein hoda mimin hatayna pater, if the admission is not about the same item as the claim, he is exempt from swearing. For example, if he claimed two maos of silver, and the nitvat responded that he has only one copper worth of prut of his, he does not swear since the admission is a different material than the claim. However, if he claimed both two maos of silver and a pruta, and the nitva admitted to having a pruta, he must swear, having admitted to part of the claim. The Mishnah gives several other examples, including taino chitin v'hodu l'b'saorin, where he claimed from his wheat, and the nitva admitted to him barley. Rabban Gamliel disagrees with this principle and obligates a shua for such partial admissions. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah discussed one who swore to deny multiple claims, and a braisa lists four opinions. Number one, Rav Meir says, Kalel, if he included all the claims in a single denial, he brings only one carbon, but Parat, if he specified the denial separately, he's chayv to separate karbanos, as will be explained. Number two, Rabbi Yudah holds he is liable separately if he said, Shvua lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha. An oath they do not owe money to you, and not to you, and not to you. Number three, Rabbi Eliezer says that shvuas are only separated if he said the word shvua at the end. And number four, Rabbi Shimon holds he must say an independent shvua term for each claim to be liable separately. Shmuel says that the case where Meir defines as kalel, inclusive shvua with one carbon, Rav Yudah considers a parat, a specifying shvua, with separate karbanos. This refers to the case of lo lecha v'lo lecha. The case Rav Yudah considers a kalel, a lo lecha, without a vav, Rav Meir considers a parat. Rabbi Yochanan says that everyone agrees that lo lecha separates the shvuas, and they only argue about lo lecha. Pointing to the Mishnah taught that if one demanded the wheat and barley and spelt that another had in his possession, and the defendant swore, She'en lecha b'yadi klum, that you have nothing in my possession, there is only a single carbon. If he swore, She'en lecha b'yadi chitin usa'orin makusmin, that you do not have wheat and not barley and not spelt in my possession, they obligate separate karbanas. Rabbi Yochanan says, Pruta makum, it's the refus. A pruta's worth of value can be combined from all of the grains for the minimum shear to obligate a carbon. Rav Achan and Ravina argued about the Mishnah's law that enumerating the grains obligates multiple kabbanas, and the application of Yochanan's ruling. One set of prati mechayev, he is liable for the specifications, meaning the listed grains, but a klali lo mechayev, he's not additionally liable for an inclusive general shvua. His opening words, she'eino cho b'yodi, that you do not have my possession, are not considered an independent shvua, jointly denying all the grains. As such, Rabbi Yochanan's ruling would not apply in this case, but in the Mishnah's first case. The other Amora said, a klali nami mechayev, he is also liable for an inclusive general shvua, and Rabbi Yochanan's ruling is relevant here as well. And point number three, the sixth parak primarily discusses the shvua of moda b'miksas, one who admits to part of a claim. It begins, shvuas ha-dayanim, the oath of judges for moda b'miksas, is only imposed when hatayna shtei kesev v'hoda b'shava pruta. The claim is for at least two silver maos, and the admission is for at least a pruta. Furthermore, im ein ha-hoda m'min hatayna pater, if the admission is not about the same item as the claim, he is exempt from swearing. For example, if he claimed two maos of silver, and the nitva responded that he has only one copper worth of prut of his, he does not swear since the admission is a different material than the claim. However, if he claimed both two maos of silver and a pruta, and the nitva admitted to having a pruta, he must swear, having admitted to part of the claim. The Mishnah gives several other examples, including Taino Chitin Vahodu Abasaorin, where he claimed from his wheat, and the nitva admitted to him barley. Rabban Gamliel disagrees with this principle and obligates his shvua for such partial admissions. All right, so now we go to our siman daf lamed ches, and our standard siman relates to a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup as the siman to make the siman more distinct. So here goes. When the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, and his partner made a shvua that the kneidah lach he made from a pruta worth of wheat, spelt, and barley were his own and not the claimant's, they together sent a thermos of soup to basin for the fellow making a shvua sadayanim when he was moda, b'miksas. Once again, slow motion. When the man cooking chicken soup, that must be on daf lamed ches, a davar lach. When the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some machlokes about swearing against multiple claims, such as lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha. So when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, and his partner made a shvua that the kneidah he made from a pruta worth of wheat, spelt and barley were his own, and not the claimant's, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one demanded the wheat and barley and spelt that what another had in his possession, and the defendant swore, she'en lecha b'yadi klum, that you have nothing in my possession, there's only a single carbon. If he swore, she'en lecha b'yadi chitin usa'orin mekusmin, that you do not have wheat, and not barley, and not spelt in my possession, they obligate separate carbonas. Rav Yochanan says, prut makum it's terefes, a prut's worth of value can be combined from all the grains for the minimum shear to obligate a carbon. So when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights of the soup that he has nothing, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, and his partner made a shvua that the kneidah he made from a pruta worth of wheat, spelt and barley, were his own, and not the claimant's, they together sent a thermos of soup to basin for the fellow making a shvua sadayanim when he was moda, b'miksas, which reminds us, the sixth parak primarily discusses the shvua of moda b'miksas, one who admits the part of a claim. It begins, shvua sadayonim, the oath of judges for moda b'miksas, is only imposed when hatana shtei kesev v'hoda b'shava pruta. The claim is for at least two silver maz, and the admission for is at least a pruta. Furthermore, im ena hoda mimin hatayna pater, if the admission is not about the same item as the claim, he is pater from swearing. So once again, when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, and his partner made a shvua that the kneidah he made from a pruta worth of wheat, spelt, and barley were his own, and not the claimant's, they together sent a thermos of soup to basin for the fellow making a shvua sadayanim when he was moda, b'miksas. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf lamed daled, so the simur daf lamed daled is a ladder. So here goes. The rabbi standing on a ladder. Ladder? That must more on daf Lamed Dalet. The rabbi standing on a ladder who spotted a man who chased someone into a ruin come out with a bloody sword and the victim dying, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses ruling on monetary or capital cases based on circumstantial evidence and the incident of Shim ben Shetach, who saw a person chase someone into a ruin and found a bloody sword in the pursuer's hand and the victim dying. He told the pursuer, "Wicked one, who killed this person? Either I or you. But what can I do when your blood is not in my hand to administer justice? Ela hamakum yiparev mimcha. Rather may Hashem punish you." A snake immediately bit the murderer, and he died. So the rabbi standing on a ladder who spotted a man who chased someone into a ruin come out with a bloody sword and the victim dying, which was the same ladder that a debtor denied being at, even though he once tied his shoelace on it, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses the defendant caught lying about an incident which does not prove a debt. Rava argued any matter which is not incumbent upon a person to recall, he does without noticing and is not considered a liar for denying it. So the rabbi standing on a ladder spotted a man who chased someone into a ruin, come out with a bloody sword and the victim dying, which was the same ladder that a debtor denied being at, even though he once tied his shoelace on it, was nervous when he saw a distracted bachur walking towards the ladder, trying to figure out which is more similar to a shuose bikadon. Is it shuose edus or me'ila regarding bringing a carbon? Which reminds us, the Gemara discussed the difference between Shuasa Eidos and Shuasa Pikadon regarding bringing a carbon from Mazid and the discussion whether Shuasa Pikadon is more similar to Me'ila or to Shuasa Eidos.
Daf Lamed Hey. So the similar Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing La La La. So here goes. At the children's choir, that must be on Daf Lamed Hey. La La La. At the children's choir Shavu Bashira concert, when a man in the audience shouted, I must be you to testify, without specifying whom, which reminds us, if one stood in the base Knesset and said, I must be you to testify for me, all those present are exempt until he specifies, aid him. So at the children's choir Shavu Bashira concert, when a man in the audience shouted, I must be you to testify, without specifying whom, and then failed again when he was Mashbia B'Shamayim U'Ba'aretz, instead of using one of Hashem's names, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if one is Mashbia witnesses, B'Shamayim U'Ba'aretz, by heaven and earth, they are exempt. But if he was Mashbia using Hashem's names, such as the one beginning with Olive Dalit, or with Chanun, Gracious One, or Rachum, Merciful One, they are liable. So at the children's choir Shavu Bashira concert, when a man in the audience shouted, I must be you to testify, without specifying whom, and then failed again when he was Mashbia B'Shamayim U'Ba'aretz, instead of using one of Hashem's names, the choir decided to sing the Gadol Hachnasas Orchim song and invite the man on stage as their guest, which reminds us, a braisa lists numerous names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tanakh and discusses which actually referred to Hashem. All the shame was written in connection with Avram are Kodesh, their sacred, meaning their divine names, except where he said, Adonai, my master, if I have found favor in your eyes, please do not pass away from your servant. However, Rabbi Elazar Modai was quoted saying that this is also Kodesh. This opinion is followed by Rav, who derived from here. Gadol hachnasas orchim yoser, mahakabalas b'nei shechina. Receiving guests is greater than receiving the shechina, which is why Avram went to receive guests, although the shechina was present. Daf Lamed Vav. So the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav, that must be on Daf Lamed Vav, lulav. The man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav upside down, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who curses himself or another is liable for using any name of Hashem, and the Gemara says this ruling is unanimous. Cursing oneself is prohibited by the pasuk, Raki shamerocha u'shmer nafshecha ma'od, only beware for yourself and greatly beware for your soul, warning not to harm oneself, and the terms hishamer pen va'al connote alosase. So the man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav upside down, and then said to two witnesses, may Hashem not strike you if you testify for me that I was sold a defective lulav, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one told Adim, al yakucha, may Hashem not strike you if you do testify for me, or yibarechucha, he should bless you if you testify. Rav Meir says they are chai because a curse for not testifying is implied, but the Chachamim disagree. The Gemara will come to distinguish between inferring for an Isser case versus inferring in a Mamun case. So the man who cursed himself with one of the names of Hashem, after he realized he held the lulav upside down, and then said to two witnesses, may Hashem not strike you if you testify for me that I was sold a defective lulav, was outraged when the person he deposited his lulav case with took a shvuas bikadon and denied it was in his possession, which reminds us, the fifth parak details the laws of Shuas Pikadon, the oath of deposit, where someone denies possessing someone else's Pikadon, or loan, with a specific consequence of a carbon asham and paying an additional fifth. This applies to all people, including those disqualified from Eidos. Rameer says one is only liable for a Shvua outside of Basin if he himself swore. If someone else was Mashbiah him, he's only liable in Basin. The Chachamim hold that one is always liable even outside of Basin. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. When the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns, laser tag, that must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. When the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by aiding him, making him chayev to bring a carbon, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if Shua's bikadim with hasra is liable to a carbon, malchus, or both. So when the boy lied and swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by aiding, making him chayev to bring a carbon, his teammate shot back and said that since there are aiding, he is patur, which reminds us, Rabbi held that Shua's Pikadon, where aiding were present, is exempt from a carbon. So when the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by aiding, making him chayev to bring a carbon, his teammate shot back and said that since there are aiding, he is patur. Just like the kids who denied knowing who owned the laser tag arena and got off because it was about Karka, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue about aiding who deny knowing testimony about the ownership of land. Rabbi Yochanan holds their patur like he holds that Yeshua's pikadon about Shibud Karkos is patur. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one.
Which stuff do we learn that any matter which is not incumbent on a person to recall, he does without noticing and is not considered a liar for denying it? That's on Dav. Amadalad.
Good. Number two.
Which stuff do we learn that Toch Gedei Dibur is Kedibur Dami? That's on Dav. Lamed Beis.
Good. Number three. Which daf has the long Mishnah discussing the Shvua of Moda B'Miksas? That's on daf. Lamed Ches. Good. Number four. Which daf do you know that if one is Mashpia Eidim B'Shamayim V'Va'aretz, by heaven and earth, they are Patur? That's on daf. Lamed He. Good. Number five. Which daf do you discuss combining different claims for a Pruta's worth of value? That's on daf. Good. Number six.
Which stuff do you discuss ruling on monetary or capital cases based on circumstantial evidence and the incident with Shem ben Shetach who saw a murderer emerge from a ruin? That's on Dav. Lamed Dalet.
Good. Number seven. Which stuff do you learn about exemptions from Shavuos Ha'edus such as not specifying the witnesses? That's on Dav. Lamed Hey. Good. Number eight.
Which stuff when everyone agrees a single witness is liable for denying testimony because his aidus would have required payment, such as the case of Naska de Rabbi Abba, where someone grabbed a silver bar from someone? That's on Dav. Lamed Beis.
Good. Number nine. Which stuff do we have the machlokes about swearing against multiple claims, such as lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha? That's on Dav. Lamed Ches. Good. Number 10.
Which stuff do we learn that Shua's Aedus is only liable for a monetary claim and not to testify to someone's yichus? That's on Dav. Lamed Gimel.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.